You're listening to the Podmania Pro Wrestling Podcast. Just a sample of the best pro wrestling podcasts we can produce on our tiny budget. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, at Podmania, YouTube, and Instagram, at The Real Podmania. If it's wrestling you want, check out more of our great content at www.podmania.weebly.com. Let's do this.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Podmania podcast. I'm your host, a very, very croaky Rob Goodwin, and I'm joined by the only man in Podmania who still has a bedtime, the only man in Podmania who thinks that the SmackDown tag team belts look sexy. It's Chris O'Brien. How are you, my friend?
Yes, it's me, the Pokemon training young bachelor.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It gets worse every episode.
I just got a Switch and I'm playing Let's Go Pikachu and I love it. I still have a heart, Rob.
People are going to unsubscribe, and rightly so.
I'm sorry, but the Venn diagram of a wrestling fan and a video game fan is essentially a circle. So
right, we are going to do some field research at TakeOver. And we are going to find those wrestling fans who appreciate both Pokemon and wrestling. Because I'll be honest, I find it hard enough to tell people I like wrestling, you know, as well as telling them that, you know what, Pokemon's pretty cool as well.
I don't tell them, I just wear the shirts and ignore them.
Okay, you're a better man than I then. You're a better man than I. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we were not here last week to review episode 13 and 14, unfortunately. As discussed in the New Japan podcast, my internet was absolutely shot to pieces. It's been fixed now, so we are back on schedule. And we're here to review episode 15 and 16. Before we go into some NXT UK news and some more general wrestling news, Chris, this week's episodes, I think we can agree again, we were dealt two shows very, very different.
Yeah, they're both a very in degrees of quality. The second episode, well, had one thing that made me pop, was kind of meh, like everything sort of under-delivered.
Yeah, I mean, just to quickly say, I thought episode 16, which aired afterwards, obviously chronologically, the main event is really the only match worth tuning in for. We'll get into it a bit more after we get into some news, but news first, Chris. Now, we didn't get a chance to talk about this on the podcast last week because obviously there wasn't one, but the Dynamite Kid unfortunately passed away on the 5th of December.
Yes.
A really, really influential wrestler. Didn't get the success that he deserved due to just awful injuries.
And being a dick.
Yeah. I don't think his personal life, you know, helped people warm to him personally, but you know,
especially
not his wife, if rumors are to be, you know, believed. I think putting his personal life aside for a second, he was, without a shadow of a doubt, a pioneer of that style of wrestling.
Absolutely. It's going to sound cliche, but you haven't seen him versus original Tiger Mask. You haven't lived. Well, you have lived, but you've lived a more... I don't. Anyway, also, any of the matches of the Bulldogs versus the Hart Foundation were absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
He was a great junior. Great. Helped carry Davey Boy to some great matches when they were a tag team. So, great guy.
Absolutely. And the original Tiger Mask actually paid homage to Dynamite Kid. And there was a very, very nice send off in Japan. The last two episodes last week of NXT UK were both dedicated to the memory of Dynamite Kid. So, you know, irrelevant of what may or may not have gone on in his personal life, he obviously had a lot of demons he was battling with, but in-ring, pure in-ring, this man was a legend, and may he rest in peace.
Yeah.
On slightly more chipper news, we are going to take over, as I'm sure anyone that follows our Twitter page will know, because we are extremely giddy. But we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, unfortunately, on the NXT UK podcast. That TakeOver tickets, the NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool tickets, have sold out and have sold out in less than 3 hours. That's an achievement, Chris.
Yeah, that's 3,000 people. It's one of the bigger gates you're going to get in the UK. And you have no idea how frantic I was F5ing because they put the anxiety riddled one in charge of getting the tickets.
Yeah, it was not a great idea to perhaps put Chris in charge of tickets. but you know what? We can moan as much as we want. You got us 3 tickets. We are going to Blackpool. It's going to be an absolutely amazing event. 3 hours. That's ridiculous. Do you think, Chris, that this is going to be a sustained thing? Or do you think this is sort of the hype surrounding the product at the moment, coupled with the fact that this is the first one?
They need to be realistic with where they can host big crowds and B, when they do. Like, for example, big wrestling markets would include Glasgow, London, Manchester can get into them. Newcastle draws decent crowds, but
yeah,
those cities are already saturated, so they do need to sort of measure expectations. I think every takeover will sell out just on the takeover name value alone, because I'm going to assume this one's going to be amazing. I'm hoping it is, because I'm traveling down all the way to Blackpool. But if this one does really well, I think we'll just have a recurring few thousand people who just keep going to each takeover, because it's not especially hard if you plan ahead to travel across Britain. So,
yeah, you mentioned the fact that, sorry, I apologize to anyone that is listening to this podcast and is thinking what the hell has happened to his voice. I'm absolutely fine. I'm not ill. It's just my voice has stopped working for some reason. So bear with
me. He's actually secretly 13 years old and his voice is just breaking.
Yes, and I still have a later bedtime than you. you mentioned
it's a self-inflicted bedtime.
Yes, exactly. Self-imposed. You mentioned the fact that a lot of the cities in Britain now are saturated with wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
That might not be an issue very, very shortly, Chris. Now, last week, there was some additional news on these, let's say, contentious new NXT UK contracts. And we found out more about these tiers that we were led to believe about now. There are 3 tiers to these NXT UK contracts, and the performers fall under one of these 3 tiers. Tier 1 is your main event talent, your Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, Tyler Bates, Tony Storm, Zach Gibson, Joe Coffey. Now, what these contracts tell them that they cannot do is that they cannot wrestle for any unaffiliated UK wrestling company, which we knew anyway. However, you know, they can wrestle in dark matches for the companies that are affiliated, but they cannot be on any video streaming services. So, for example, if Pete Dunne were to wrestle for Fight Club Pro, Attack, Over the Top, Future Shock, Progress, ICW, if he were to fight for them, he is not allowed to be on the main card. He has simply got to work dark matches against talent that is not currently signed to New Japan, Impact, and any other promotion like that. Any that the WWE see as a threat. Tier 2, they can work on video. They can work on video streaming services for those aforementioned promotions, but they can only work with those promotions. No other ones. And they are your semi-regulars. I assume those are your Devlin, your Mark Andrews,
Williams,
Dennis, Mark Williams. I assume they're the people that fall under that tier. The third tier is they can work freely across anywhere. Anywhere, you know, this is pretty much, they have the same contract that they had before, but they have the same constraints that they cannot wrestle against people that are from these promotions. These are the blacklisted promotions, in inverted commas. Rev Pro, Defiant, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Ring of Honor, Impact, MLW, Lucha Underground, and also, and this is very interesting, the potential All Elite Wrestling. Now, this is very, very, very dangerous for British promotions, isn't it, Chris?
It's dangerous in the sense, they'll be fine long term unless we get bought, but there's plenty of talent being used by every promotion that has nothing. Like, for example, RevPro is going to be completely fine because they have New Japan stars to bounce off of. Progress and ICW are going to lose some big stars, but they're also already in the pros. Well, not ICW because they've fallen down a fucking hole. We'll talk about that in a second. But they've been creating big stars over in Progress, so they'll be fine in the long run, even if they lose stars like Dunn and Seven. But yeah, it's not good, especially if they don't give these people time to wrap up their storylines, because Joe Coffey's a champion in ICW. Trent Seven's the Atlas champion. Just Ash and Smith is one half of the tag champions over in ICW. So this kind of thing, it's worrying in the short term, but long term, I think these promotions will be fine. They've lived through losing a lot of big stars before.
Okay, and I thought that as well until details emerged of the fact that WWE has the option to purchase both Progress and ICW.
Why I said it, if they don't get purchased, I'm worried that they will. They've been mentioning them a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if they were purchased and just put as a different thing on the network. To be honest with you, as long as they don't run in at the same time, they might be fine. I hope that's the case because I love Progress, but we'll see.
Gut feeling, are the WWE in the next X amount of years going to purchase Progress and ICW, and are they going to shut them down?
It depends who's pulling the strings. I genuinely don't, from what I've heard about Triple H, for people like Cody, who has no reason to be nice about Triple H, he doesn't want that to happen. But if Vince can put down a hammer, that might happen.
The thing that worries me is if the worst happens, and obviously, you know, this is speculation, if the worst happens, that is going to have negative effect on NXT UK.
Yeah.
Because the crowd is going to become very, very hostile towards NXT UK because it will be that product's fault that we are losing ICW, that we are losing Progress. You know, we're losing big money matches on the indies in Britain.
It completely depends on A, how they handle the closure, and B, how they what they do with it, and also where they go. Because in places like Birmingham or Plymouth, who don't have a Progress or an ICW, they probably won't care. You've seen the Birmingham and Plymouth crowds, they've been cunts. But like in Glasgow or in London or in Manchester, then yeah, that could very much have a backlash. But at the same time, there was backlash when Vince did all this shit in the 80s, and he came out fine. I think overall, WWE will come out of it fine.
Oh yeah, WWE will always come out of this fine. They've got the money to back it up, and ultimately they've got that core audience, no matter how much it's diminishing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, last couple of things, and this isn't really NXT UK news. It's more of, I'm not to say fancy booking. I don't want to say that, but for those of you who haven't seen NXT yet, not NXT UK, NXT yet, skip ahead in the podcast about 6 minutes. Just to be safe. So, NXT this week, Ricochet basically laid out an open challenge for his North American Championship. And who should answer it but Prince Pretty Tyler Breeze? Chris, what my point is, with the news that WWE, with their bloated roster, may be bumping people back down to NXT, and that might not be the worst thing for some of them, trust me, the way that the main roster books its stars, and, you know, the fact that Fabian Aichner, over the last two shows, has been part of NXT UK, is there anybody that you think we will see from the main roster come to NXT UK?
Until very recently, I would have said Dolph Ziggler, but he's been lining shit up. by Raw standards. But who would go down? I can see a lot of 205 stars heading back down, just to bring in some, to pop a rating for NXT that week. I'm trying to think. Zack Ryder is a possibility.
Yeah.
I think that would absolutely pop the NXT crowd. They loved him for the brief spell he was down there.
Yeah, absolutely. What about the Ascension?
I'd love that. I love NXT Ascension.
NXT Ascension were fantastic, but of course they just became a jobber tag team because they messed up their debut.
Yeah.
That was
Rude.
Their fault, really.
Rude, Gable. Although they're world tag champions now, aren't they?
Yeah, but how long is that going to last, really?
Yeah. Sanity.
Yeah, they've really ballsed Sanity up.
You say ballsed Sanity up. They did fuck all in NXT as well.
At least they were tag champs and they were seen as an actual credible threat. Here we just get you know, Usos versus New Day and The Bar versus The New Day. And that's all we seem to have.
To be fair, in 20, I think it was last year, Usos and New Day had a surprisingly amazing feud.
Don't get me wrong. Their feuds are amazing and all of their matches are outstanding. But we need to build some newer tag teams.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, I'd love to see some main roster stars turn up in NXT UK. I don't think they will.
I think they'd more push NXT stars down to NXT UK than main roster. Which, to be fair, if Ono turned up in NXT UK, that would be a pop and a half.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at the talent that NXT's got, that would be absolutely insane. And to be perfectly honest, even people who aren't getting a lot of TV time, like Aigner, you know, they are having really, really good matches. And those good matches that they're having on TV with an audience is bringing more spotlights on them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more of a thought, you know, there's bound to be more main roster stars now appearing on NXT. I was just wondering at work today, would we see any in NXT UK? It's just food for thought, Chris.
I hope so. I absolutely hope so.
Final thing before we very, 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 very quickly recap 13 and 14, because there is not a lot to say about those shows.
I only have one thing I want to say about those shows.
Chris, you want to talk very, very briefly about the ICW show that you wanted to talk about last week. Go for it.
Fear and Loathing 11, 3 years in a row, it's been happened in Hydro, which is a stadium, not stadium, an arena in the heart of Glasgow that's slightly bigger, like 500 people more than Wembley. And ICW have ran this place 3 years in a row, opened with a 6,000 crowd, biggest crowd in European wrestling for years and years and years. And I believe was the biggest independent show until All In. And then last year, we drew 4,000, which was still a good number, still enough to make them come back for next year. But this year, reports are having between 1,500 and 2,500. ICW's official number is at 2,000. And that's not, they're not going back to the Hydro next year. And it was a decent show, but I think a big problem was they have been booking themselves into oblivion this year. It's been quite sad to watch. The world title has changed like 5 times this year, and you should not be doing well the world title. And to people who should never win it, because you know who, when I went to Shug's house party earlier this year, saw some great things, Walter versus BT Gun, all great stuff. But the champion, Stevie Boy, guess who he lost his title to?
Was it, I read this, DCT?
Yes, the international sex hero, DCT. Which, to be fair, I used to love him because of his theme tune, because it was like, if Bob the Builder was a porn star, it was amazing. Okay. But he's not a world champion. And then Jackie Polo won it, which, to be fair, he fought Lionheart, and that's both were amazing together. But Jackie Polo was barely a tag champion this time last year, and they sort of just threw him into a position like two people have been Jinder Mahal'd into the title this year, and just it's not helped them at all. I've seen ICW fans blame the stuff with WWE, but a lot of what the ICW have done to themselves this year has been self-inflicted. I'm not surprised they didn't draw well.
No, I'd heard that the numbers were low. But obviously this is ICW's biggest show of the year.
Mm.
And I know they've struggled. I think the main issue has been Coffey, who keeps being pulled from certain dates, and they keep having to replace him with people. But, you know, single that thing out. You know, there's got to be other things at play, and there's enough talent on the ICW roster to crown a dominant world champion. You know, a world champion that sticks it out. You're right. You know, you can't WCW the title.
It has been really, really sad to watch, because this time last year, ICW were lighting it up. I went to like 3 shows in the span of a month, and they were all... That's when ICW is still an amazing live experience. Like when I went to see him a few weeks ago at the Garage, I mean, it was a bit empty, but that's mostly because it ended at 1 a.m. But it just meant everyone was drunk, and it was amazing. And Killian Dane turned up, and that got a massive pop. Had an amazing match with Mikey Whiplash, but... Yeah, that's the thing. I'd rather go to a Garage show than a World Under Big shows, because I'd rather have a lot of fun for £20 than a bit of fun for £40. So,
no, I agree. It's a shame, and it seems that the ripples of NXT UK are starting to be felt across other promotions as well, which is sad.
Progress is still being amazing, though. That's the thing. Progress is, over the last few chapters, has still been absolutely amazing. We're using a lot of non-WWE UK stars like Mark Haskins, Speedball Mike Bailey, just... a lot of great stuff, so it's not all WWE UK's fault.
To be honest, when they started NXT UK, I was surprised that Mark Haskins hadn't been signed.
I think he likes doing his indie stuff. He was doing stuff with Ring of Honor, but he wasn't signed.
Yeah, like freelancing.
All 3 Ring of Honor shows I've been to have had Haskins on it. Actually, one of it was Haskins versus Takahashi, which was amazing.
Oh, fantastic. It's... Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how 2019 pans out for ICW.
Yeah.
So, very, very quickly, before we dive headlong, kicking and screaming into episode 15 and 16 of NXT UK, we'll quickly recap what there actually was on episode 13 and 14. Similarly to this week, we were given 2 very different shows, and I can honestly say it's the first time that I've thought an episode of NXT was... meh, it was all right. Now, the first installment, episode 13, these are the results. Fabi Knightner defeated Mark Andrews, which was an absolutely fantastic match.
Yep.
We started the building of Isle of Dawn, and that is carried on in this week's as well. She defeated Nina Samuels, who seems to be the jobber already of the women's division. Eddie Dennis crushed Tucker in about 3 minutes. And then Jordan Devlin and Flash Morgan Webster put on an absolute clinic.
Absolutely.
One more thing to point out about this episode is that we finally have a name for the trio of the Coffees and Wolfgang. They are now known as Gallus. Now, you're Scottish, Chris, apparently.
No one believes me.
It's because you don't sound Scottish. Do you know what the word Gallus means?
It's a Glasgow word, so no.
No, right. The official definition is bold, cheeky, or flashy.
That's how I describe Joe Coffey.
That's definitely how I would describe Joe Coffey. I'm not entirely sure that Wolfgang can be described as flashy. But, you know.
He's very cheeky, though.
Yeah, if you want to go with that. You know, it's a decent name. It was just, when I first heard it, I found it very, very underwhelming. But, you know, the more I've heard it, this week, it's grown on me. It's grown on me a lot more. Now, the problem was that after episode 13 was episode 14, and the match that kicked off this show was Joseph Connors taking on Dan Maloney. Now,
I actually shouted, fuck off.
Yeah.
my twin walked in. He's like, why are you shouting fuck off? I'm like, you won't understand.
You don't get it, man. Yeah, it's... two of the most boring men on NXT UK currently, and they're opening a show and they're fighting each other. It wasn't a good match. It was a very average match with absolutely nothing to report. Joseph Connors went over because they seem to be hot on Connors. I'm fine with them being hot on Connors, but they've got to do something with him. If you want him to be this silent assassin, there's got to be more to him than that. Otherwise, it just comes across as boring.
Absolutely.
Mastiff went over Wild Boar.
It was like watching Rhino's kids fight each other. It was weird.
It was. I really don't know what to make of Wild Boar.
He's a former ICW Tag Team Champion, don't you know?
I did not know. I know nothing about ICW.
He was at the Hydro last year fighting Polar Promotions, so...
Fair enough. Fair enough. It's a weird ass gimmick. I'll put it that way.
It was weirder in a tag team, believe it or not.
Oh God, I can imagine. We then had Ligero get back to winning ways against Tyson T-Bone. And my favourite bit of this show was Rhea Ripley. We got some character development with Rhea Ripley, who absolutely crushed Candy Floss in a match.
By the way, that's what made me pop, was Candy Floss. I love Candy Floss.
Was it? I know that she's Progress.
I absolutely love that. From Progress. I've also done some stuff, I believe, with Stardom. And I just... It is like a lollipop come to life. It's amazing.
It is. It's like the childishness of Bailey turned up to 20.
And I love it.
But yeah, Rhea Ripley was a proper dick. Properly beat down Candy Floss at the end. We really went on this journey that she was this ruthless, maniacal heel, which I love. I really like that, and I thought it was good. This was the bit that I wanted to talk to you about last week, Chris. Travis Banks and Wolfgang.
I hated this because I don't like the DQ finish, and I definitely don't like that. No, it wasn't a DQ. It was a shitty finish because Trent Seven grabbed onto to Wolfie's leg. So who's the heels here? Trent?
Do you know what? This was what I wanted to say to you. At some point, Gallus have got to go over British Strong Style, because at the moment it seems to be British Strong Style thwarting Gallus at every single turn. And I understand that you want to build the promotion around British Strong Style. They are a very marketable trio. They are incredibly talented. They're incredibly exciting to watch. But if you are trying to build a dominant trio in Gallus and the Coffees and Wolfgang, you've got to give them something. You cannot have British Strong Style going over every single time.
No, and like, I understand you want to send the crowd, so I'm happy, but that's what dark matches are for.
Yeah, exactly. Right, let's delve into this week's offing. We had episode 15 from the 12th of December, and we opened with a match that was set up last week between Flash Morgan Webster and Fabian Aichner. Now, Chris, I really enjoyed this match. Really enjoyed this match.
It was a really fun match. Have you ever noticed that Flash Morgan Webster looks like Jay from Year Between Us?
I hadn't noticed, but now I don't think I'm going to be able to get that out of my head.
Once you see it, you can unsee it.
In the match against Mark Andrews, Aichner wasn't necessarily portrayed as a heel. No. It was more of the fact that Andrews just kept kicking out and Aichner eventually lost his temper. That's not heelish, that's just frustration. In this match, he was depicted far more as an out-and-out heel.
This is how Dean Ambrose should wrestle, because he's a brawler, a great brawler, and he uses the ring to his advantage so magnificently.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I will say about this is, if Aichner is supposed to be this heel, he is a fucking dumb heel, because the move that finished Mark Andrews off, or one of the moves that finished Mark Andrews off, was placing him up against the ring steps and the running knee, which looked fucking awful. Mm-hmm. Mark Andrews came out partway through this match to support a very, very beaten Flash Morgan Webster. And Aichner pulled up from doing the knee charge to basically talk to Mark Andrews. And this always annoys me. Because
it was completely stupid.
Just go through with it. And it was at that point that I knew Aichner wasn't winning this match.
Yeah, the thing is that it's basically running towards Aichner, and Andrews is basically going, no, don't do it. It's like, what? You think me not doing it's going to... You telling me not doing it is going to make me stop doing it, and he stopped doing it. So
exactly.
It was stupid.
I'm glad Aichner hasn't gone over another NXT UK star, because in my opinion, that would have sort of buried NXT UK, gone over Andrews, and then he would have gone over Morgan Webster. There were some really good bits in this match. These two had really good chemistry. I really enjoyed Flash Morgan Webster doing the springboard onto the top rope, onto Aichner. I thought that was really good. The only thing that wound me up about that, I think it's called the Rude Boy Block. The thing that wound me up about that was the fact that not 30 seconds earlier, Webster was selling an ankle injury.
Mm.
and yet was able to do that.
This is a common thing with opening matches in NXT UK, because in the one a couple of weeks ago, he said the same thing about bait and coffee.
Yeah, and yes, I'm fully aware that it could be just a pernickety little thing that doesn't irritate a lot of people. And I know that, you know, when you're watching wrestling, you need to suspend your disbelief slightly, but if I'm to believe that Aichner is destroying Flash Morgan Webster's leg, then I need to believe that Webster cannot use his leg. I need to believe that. And if he's doing flippy shit, which, don't get me wrong, the Rude Boy block looks really cool. But if I see that, I'm assuming his leg's fine and he was just playing stupid when he was trying to sell it before.
You could put it up to adrenaline just being able to quickly do it, but he didn't immediately go back to selling the leg. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what this does to Aichner's credibility as a threat. Now he's already been beaten with
it wasn't exactly... You can argue because it's a roll-up, it's a fluke, so it's not really that big a deal.
Yeah, you can argue that, I suppose. I hope Aichner stays in the NXT UK for a while because, to be perfectly honest, I think he's incredible.
I hope he turns up a takeover.
That would be brilliant. Now, we had some new belts.
Oh, they're so pretty. So pretty.
They are incredible. The NXT UK tag team titles were unveiled officially. Everyone's seen them before because the design leaked. But they were officially unveiled at the start of this episode, and Triple H called to the locker room to grab your partners. It's time to impress Johnny Saint. Now, I agree with you, Chris. I think that they have done yet another outstanding job of designing the belts. I think all three belts, you know, well, four if you count the two belts of the tag team, but I don't. The three championships, let's put it that way, look beautiful.
So pretty.
They are. I know that the women's, like I've said before, I know that the women's championship is just inverted with a white strap.
And I hate that.
But do you know what? I still think it looks amazing. I still think that all the belts look amazing. I think the NXT tag team titles are just, they are just a thing of beauty.
Absolute thing of beauty. And they've got their own distinct look as well, which is why I like a lot of Ring of Honor belts as well. Because they just have a distinct look. You can immediately tell it's from that brand. And to be fair, NXT has that as well. So
yeah, absolutely.
WWE are great at belts when it's not the main roster.
Yeah, when they're not just trying to sort of commercialize everything. The thing was with this, though, is that it has brought together some very, very random teams.
Yeah, which we'll talk about next week. But this week we had Jordan and Williams.
Yeah, Amir Jordan and Kenny Williams.
Now, I at least get that one because they're two sort of like lovable losers. But
they are. They are. We had some weird dancing gimmick. Amir Jordan was interviewed just before this match and he started dancing with the interviewer. Kenny Williams came in, basically said, no time for dancing, we need to be serious. It was a very, very bizarre interchange, but, you know, it put them over as lovable babyfaces, like he said. We had some more build-up to the main event, which would be Joe Coffey taking on Trent Seven, which, let's put it this way, is one of the matches of the run. It was an incredible match, but I'm jumping ahead. We then got Isla Dawn versus Killer Kelly.
Now, Nappy Girl.
Yeah, Nappy Girl. Now, Chris, the last time we saw Killer Kelly, you said every time she walks to the ring or every time she's in the ring, she looks very green. Did this did this match do
still
anything?
Looks so green. Still looks very, but that's the way she falls. Like, and she does her moves well. It's just the transitions between moves she gets messy on. Again, she has time. This is a developmental system, but just everything else is at such a high level that she just sort of sticks out.
Are you sold on Isla Dawn?
I don't like her. I somewhat like her gimmick. I like, my patriotism sort of spurs me on to root for her. But like, she's good. I've seen her have good matches outside of NXT UK, but her finisher is god awful. She should just use her knee as the finisher, because it's like a jackhammer if Goldberg had broken ribs, except Goldberg has done better jackhammers with broken ribs. It's the worst finisher in NXT UK. I hate it.
I completely agree with you. They're obviously building Isla Dawn because of what happened afterwards. But Dawn set up a finisher with a running knee strike, and then it was a float over suplex. Now, this float over suplex looks like the tamest thing in the world.
Yeah, it looks... you said on the last New Japan podcast that Edge looked like he was hugging people to the ground. That's what she looks like. It looks like she's picking him up and then hugging them to the ground. It's hopeless.
Yeah, it's not the greatest finish in the world. And unfortunately, like, I know you have quite a story knowledge of the British indie scene that I don't have. But Isla Dawn, I do not see her as a credible threat at all.
She's never been really a credible threat within, like for example, she was in ICW recently, and we didn't even put her against Viper or Kaylee Ray. We put her against Ava, who's sort of like a lovable undercard person. Well, not lovable, she's in a cult, but an enjoyed undercard person.
A lovable cult, or just...
I don't know. Look at Mikey Whiplash and tell me if he looks lovable, but...
No, he does not look lovable.
He does not. He looks very fucking scary.
Yeah, but, he does. Yeah. So this entire thing was used to set up Isla Dawn challenging Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley comes down, holds the belt up. Isla Dawn delivers a very, very, very unconvincing promo that made me think she forgot
her lines.
She
should just not talk. Like, I was going to say this last week before the internet cut off for you, but she should just not. She'd be like a silent witch.
Yeah. There's absolutely not a cat in hell's chance that Isla Dawn is walking away with this championship, because I assume it is going to be one of the main events of next week.
Yeah.
I don't see it. No.
Mostly because we've read spoilers, but...
Well, yeah. you have. No, I have as well. But, you know, they've just put it on Rhea Ripley. There's no way Isla Dawn... But even if we were 6 months into the reign of Rhea Ripley...
No.
I wouldn't be behind Isla Dawn.
Isla Dawn is another one where she just sort of needs a bit of development, which is what NXT UK is for. So I don't mind that really, and I'm sure she has a better move. And all she needs to do for me to properly get behind her is switch out the world's shittest jackhammer for that running knee she does, because she's really good at her kicks. So
yeah, absolutely. And they said that she was trained by, or in part by, Aleister Black, and you can see that in her moveset. Mm-hmm. You know what, just use Aleister Black's moveset. His finisher is a kick, and it's fucking badass. Just use that. Anyway, now, this was something I wanted to say from last week. Now, last week Dave Mastiff was being interviewed after his match, and he was basically talking about being this undefeatable monster. In the background, in the doorway, was Eddie Dennis. But, and I shit you not, when he first arrived in the background and wearing his glasses, I said, holy shit, it's Neville.
I got really excited for a brief second.
There was the fleetingest. It's like every time Natalia's music hits, you think, fucking hell, it's Bret Hart. Oh, shit, it's Natalia.
Oh, in the Women's Rumble when Natalia came out. I forgot it was the Women's Rumble when her music hit.
And you were like, oh, it's Bret Hart. Oh, it's Natalia. But genuinely, he arrived at the door. I was like, fuck, it's Pac. It's not. It's Eddie Dennis. This week, we carried on with that. Dave Mastiff was being interviewed again about being this monster and what was next for him. Eddie Dennis was in the only one sitting in the stands, which was a bit peculiar. He came down, and I thought this little interchange between the two was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
He comes across as this real, just utter bastard, and I really like that about him, even if I'm not convinced by his in-ring style. He came across and said, basically, come the end of this, I'm going to be the undefeated monster.
It's very hard to take someone seriously with a Welsh accent.
It is, but I like his sinister tone of voice, the fact that he doesn't really know. It was a good promo, and I text you actually earlier today before I'd watched episode 16 and said how I wasn't convinced of Eddie Dennis. Every time I've seen him in the ring, he's just been, I don't know whether it's his size or what it is, he just seems to be too gangly. His arms seem to be completely independent of his legs. Now, that could be just how he's portrayed in NXT UK. I don't know. However, spoilers, in the main event of NXT UK episode 16, which we'll get onto after this, I'm somewhat more sold on him.
Yeah, he's great in big matches. He's a very versatile guy because, again, he used to be a comedy babyface, but he's very versatile. He can fit wherever you want. He's been playing the heel role amazingly over the last year, basically making Mark Andrews' life hell. So... that's great.
We move on then to the first of the tag team matches. Now, this tag team match, we are led to believe, it's not said explicitly, but we are led to believe that the winner of this match would go into the tag team title tournament. And it was between Amir Jordan and Kenny Williams. and the team of Zach Gibson and James Drake, the grizzled young veterans that they won't call the grizzled young veterans yet.
Do you think Jordan and Williams should have a name? Because I think they should have a name.
I think that unless they bring in a secondary title, which I don't think they will for a while, if they don't become a tag team, we're going to see very little of them.
The Jumping Yins? I think that's a good name.
Jumping Yins. I actually quite like that. Do you know what? I think despite the fact that these two are, you know, thrown together effectively, I thought they had good chemistry. This was a really, really good match.
This is a good match, yeah.
I love grizzled young veterans. The finisher is just absolutely brilliant.
They're very reminiscent of a revival in the sense of they cut off a ring and they have a code breaker variation for the finisher.
It's a really, really good finisher. But these two, they're so hard hitting. James Drake looks fucking mental, which I love. And you know what? Maybe for the foreseeable future, or at least for the next bit, we're not going to see Zach Gibson as a single star.
No, which I'm fine with because that division is completely saturated right now with the Gallus BSS turf war.
Absolutely. But you know what? If these go through to the final of the NXT Tag Team Title Tournament, I want them to win it.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for Zach Gibson and James Drake to win it because, yes, I understand that they will probably be going against babyfaces, probably going to be Mustache Mountain, but I loved everything that they did together, whether it be absolutely destroying Amir Jordan on the outside where Drake jumped over the top rope and did a stomp onto Amir Jordan, who was being held in a backbreaker position by Gibson.
That looked painful for
it
everyone involved.
It looked horrendous. Whether it be the finisher, which is it called Ticket to Ride?
I'm fucking all these Beatles references all over the fucking place. But yeah, that would be the Ticket to Ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it looks fantastic. And, you know, rightly so, Zach Gibson and James Drake go over and presumably into the tag team title tournament. I love them. I think they're incredible. I've seen them wrestle twice now as a team.
Only twice?
Yeah, only twice. I saw clips of them against, was it CCK?
If it's Progress, it's probably CCK.
Yeah, I saw highlights of a match between them and CCK, and I was really, really enjoying that. So to see them in NXT UK and to see the fact that they haven't really been dialed down, and yeah, you're absolutely right, they are very, very similar to an NXT revival. Not the main roster revival, but an NXT revival. Mm-hmm. And that I really do appreciate because I thought the revival would have thrived on the main roster for that reason, because they're the brainbusters, effectively.
Basically, yeah.
But anyway, we move on to the main event. Joe Coffey taking on Trent Seven. Fucking hell, Chris, this was a great match.
An amazing match. This would not have felt out of place in the G1. It's not quite that quality because it would need to go on another like 5-10 minutes to be that, but holy fuck. What a match. I did not expect to see this on a weekly TV show. If you just said in like 2005 to someone, hey, so we're going to have like what would now be considered match of the years on TV shows, they would laugh at you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This pisses on anything Raw produced.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a hard-hitting match. And do you know what? Trent Seven, yes, I understand that Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, they're younger, they're more marketable. And yeah, sure, Trent Seven doesn't have the physique that they've got. But you know what? He's my favourite one out of British Strong Style.
He's probably my favorite one. He's had good runs in every promotion he's ever been with. He's fucking hilarious.
He is so charismatic, it's untrue.
Yeah, he's just amazing. Like, he just references shit. He doesn't give a fuck at a Progress show. I've won in New Orleans, actually. Before cutting a promo, he just turned to Tyler Bate and was like, so, Liv Morgan. He's just fucking hilarious.
I mean, this match was brilliant, and it feels like I say this every time in the main event, but this was a masterclass in how to sell shit.
Oh yeah, his knee selling, the selling of the knee was amazing. Like, young Tyler Bate, fucking take notes.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, Flash Morgan Webster, take note. This is how to sell an injury. Everything that Trent Seven did, you felt the pain with him. Mm-hmm. You know, he did a running suicide dive through the bottom rope, which I thought was an odd place to do it. You know, Snapdragon, which, you know, he then sold the knee for.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything he did. And Joe Coffey, fucking amazing.
He is a monster in every sense of the word. That belly to belly off the apron, Jesus.
Oh my God. Genuinely, how Trent Seven got up after that, I do not know.
Yeah.
The two consecutive power bombs into the Boston Crab. I was like, well, that's it. He's going to tap out.
That is a Samoa Joe thing, and I love it. Although, this match, A, is the first time the crowd wasn't cunty. Because we were chanting Goldberg at Eichner earlier.
They were chanting Goldberg at Eichner.
By the way, in this match, did you hear the one girl try to do too sweet?
And yes. Then, it's dying a death somewhat, isn't it?
Like, it's not dying a death, just when people are really into a match, they'll not do it. Like, when it's 20 minutes into a match, people don't do it. But I presume she was just dragged away and shot. I hope she was dragged away and shot. But just so many 90s Japan references from Seven. Like, he, A, did an Emerald Trojan, which was Misawa's finisher, and T, the Burning Hammer. So,
well, he attempted to use the Burning Hammer, and I'm so happy that the knee that Coffey had worked all match actually played into the finish. You know, it's storytelling. The way they've laid out this main event was perfect. So in the end, Trent Seven tries to get Joe Coffey up for the Burning Hammer after he's, you know, mounted his comeback. His knee gives out. Joe Coffey does a spear, which it was a really odd variation of a spear because he leapt at him like it was a spear, but
it's not
him.
Really a spear. It's like a jumping push.
Yeah, exactly. But he sort of, yeah, exactly. Into the corner and then gives him a lariat and Joe
the
Coffey is
Coffey
your winner.
Now, and amazing.
Now, I said when we were reviewing last week's episode, just very, very quickly, that Gallus needed to get something here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't with in-ring interview. And I'm glad that, you know, there wasn't a lot of, pardon me, interference from the outside. I'm glad that they pretty much just had that all condensed into one very, very small segment, and then they all went backstage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Concentrate on the in-ring product.
This was an amazing Haas fight, especially when all the bollocks is out of the way.
Yeah.
My favorite match of the run so far. I like it more than Jordan versus Dunn by Country Mile. More than Dar versus Dunn, yeah. Wow. Just because we've seen a million Pete Dunne matches on WWE TV in the last year. And he does have a certain way he wrestles, and it's great, but he has a certain way that he wrestles. So seeing Trent Seven, who you only ever seen on WWE TV as the tag team guy in Mustache Mountain, it was just great. It was something different, something really refreshing, and I would argue 4 stars for this.
Yeah, I agree. 4 out of 5, without a shadow of a doubt. Do you know, genuinely, and I know it's not the same sort of thing, it was almost like the Ishii Suzuki match we saw at Power Struggle. I know you can't really draw the power, you know, you can't really draw the parallels, but that sort of match, sort of, you know, this match was 90% attempted lariats and chops. And do you know what? Yeah. At no point did I feel bored.
It's because, and it was the same thing with Nagato and Morta, it's because Seven has great chops and Coffey has a great lariat. And because they're so big, you can believe that they're hitting each other that hard. So,
yeah, 100%, 100%. So yeah, that was episode 15. Overall, a really good, solid episode throughout with two outstanding matches. That tag match with the Grizzled Young Veterans and the main event absolutely blew me away. Absolutely fantastic show, which is part of the reason, Chris, that I am so disappointed with episode 16.
Episode 16 ended really well and had two really good matches through my estimation, and one really fucking confusing match, which is our opener, because what the fuck are Liguero and Smith doing together?
Yeah.
Like, I understand people have been thrown together, but was there no one better for Liguero than Smith? Amir Jordan would do better with Liguero. Ben Smith.
That would have been a very entertaining tag team, Liguero and Amir Jordan. I don't know. I just this show top to bottom, with the exception of the Mastiff Dennis main event, and to a certain extent, Brookside versus Ginny. I mean, it was a very strange match. We opened with the tag team of Gallus, Mark Coffey and Wolfgang, taking on Ashton Smith and Liguero. And again, there's that unwritten rule that whoever wins this match is going to progress into an NXT tag team tournament. Mm-hmm. Not a lot really to say here. Ashton Smith and Liguero aren't a tag team, so therefore we're pretty overwhelmed by the power of Mark Coffey and Wolfgang. This is really the first outing for Mark Coffey. I know he had a singles match, but I believe it was DQ. I can't remember off the top of my head. So it was nice to see him have a run out, you know, out of the shadow of Joe, who is clearly the star of the two. But yeah, we get Gallus going over. So that's two shows in a row we've had Gallus going over now.
Yeah, that's good. And to be fair, it's not exactly against stiff competition. Like, I don't think Smith's won matches outside of squashes, neither has Liguero. So it's not massive, but it's something. And to be fair, it was a good dynamic of speed versus power. And all men are good tag wrestlers. Like, all have been in tag teams. Smith is actually current ICW tag team champion, so they're all good tag wrestlers, so there's no point.
Yeah.
So like, from a behind the scenes standpoint, it makes sense, but on the screen, what the fuck is Liguero and Smith doing together?
Yeah, to be honest, I would leave Liguero as a single star because he's massively over. Just leave him as a single star.
I wish they were still just doing the El Generico thing with him.
It would be fantastic.
You could have a moment in the Rumble where him and Sami Zayn stare down, and I guarantee that'll get a pop.
Oh, it would, absolutely. Massive smark pop. I think the right person went over. I think Mark going over with his finisher over Smith. I think Smith was the right person to take the pin. You know, keep Liguero pretty hot. And I think Mark Coffey needed the win because we haven't seen a lot of him yet.
Yeah.
We then moved on to... Oh, God.
Oh, very quickly, before the last, well, they showed a replay of Isla Dawn, Dawn's promo from the episode before, and said it was 3 weeks ago.
Yes, I did notice that. It was very strange. I mean, we take from that Isla Dawn is going to challenge Rhea Ripley, and she's going to lose next week on NXT UK TV. Hopefully, it will be the main event, and we will see more to Isla Dawn. So... next, we had Joseph Connors taking on Jobber Jack Stars. What did you think, Chris?
I had a funnier thing the first time round. But no, I don't care. It's hard to care. Joseph Connors spent a minute making someone take nasty bumps to make him look good. And no, fuck off.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. They're not popping the crowd. The crowd don't care about Joseph Connors. There's silence when he enters the ring. There's silence during the match. They're not even chanting. You know, the sunset bomb into the buckles is quite cool. And then, but his Don't Look Down is... it's an alright finisher, but it was boring. And that's the issue.
Yeah, so moving on swiftly.
Yeah, let's move on.
To this, by the way, so it's Zia Brookside versus Ginny. Both of whom I really like. And Zia Brookside, you know, like in cartoons, when it's like an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other?
Yes.
If Ruby Riott's the devil, Zia Brookside is the angel.
I can see that, yeah, absolutely. Now, you said you liked Ginny, didn't you? And
She is the most natural heel in the world when she's allowed to be.
Yeah, now, again, I have only seen her from NXT UK. And in NXT UK, her gimmick just, it's not, I don't know.
She's a brat, though.
Yeah, the fashion is not a gimmick that sells. I mean, look at Tyler Breeze, for God's sake. You know, saying that you have better fashion. And this match was set up because apparently Ginny doesn't like the way Zia Brookside dresses.
It's just stupid. Zia Brookside dresses like a normal person.
It was a stupid match. Well, it was a stupid match set up, I should say. It was a good match.
It's the equivalent of Jericho spilling coffee and Kane. But
well, yeah, true. Or fighting months. Over shampoo at WrestleMania 18.
Can't you tell me how wrestling used to be better? Jesus Christ.
I know.
But no, this is great. Zia Brookside is... apparently, she hasn't been going long. We've talked about how she'll evolve into someone great, but she seems like one of the most polished people on the roster right now. like, especially in that tag match 3 weeks ago, she looked more polished than Millie did. So she's just an amazing technical wrestler.
She is, and I think big things are in store for her. And I did say earlier that, you know, she's going to reach high levels as a babyface, and I think we are looking very, very, very easily at a future NXT UK Women's Champion.
Mm-hmm.
And she could quite easily hold that belt for months and months and months, because I think the crowd are behind her. I mean, I know she lost here, which is unfortunate, but I think Ginny needed it at the moment more than Zia did.
Yeah, because I am a bit annoyed about how Ginny's just been put down to fashion, because fashion is part of a thing, but that's more down to a privilege thing than a... It was much better in other promotions, but yeah, this is fine. I'd give it 2.5 stars.
I'd give it 2.
2.25?
Yeah, let's go for 2.25. Why not? Anyway, we then had an Eddie Dennis video package followed by the main event between Eddie Dennis and Dave Mastiff.
You missed the Young Veterans promo.
I did miss the Young Veterans promo. I apologize. They basically said, yep, you've seen what we can do. It was only the tip of the iceberg, and we are going to be basically seen as the first NXT UK Tag Team Champions. I know that we are supposed to hate Zach Gibson, and we are supposed to take our shoes off if we hate Zach Gibson, and we're supposed to sit down if we hate Zach Gibson, or stand up if we hate Zach Gibson. We're supposed to do a lot of things if we hate Zach Gibson, Chris. I don't hate Zach Gibson.
Oh, no, he's the best heel in the world.
He's so natural.
He makes shite crowds into a rabid mob, and it's something very few people can do. Bully Ray could do it back in ECW. It's very hard to find someone who can turn a crowd who's been sitting under their hands into a rabid mob wanting to see him get destroyed. So,
yeah, I agree. Like I said before in episode 15, I really, really hope that they are the first NXT Tag Team Champions.
Absolutely.
Anyway, then we moved on. Oh my God, that was the most terrifying thing in the world. My Alexa has just kicked off at me. It was terrifying.
Did this used to happen all the time when you used to review Raw?
It did, because we used to talk about Alexa Bliss. Oh my God. Holy shit. Oh my God, by Kaiser Chiefs. Music. Oh my God, it's playing Oh My God. Stop. There we go. It's all good, guys. It's all good. Technology.
Please don't edit that out.
I'm not going to edit out. Who says that we don't have great content? Anyway. Jesus. Anyway, we then got the main event between Eddie Dennis and Dave Mastiff. Really good match.
Another great house match. Just these two just pounding it. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. The battle of the teachers.
Do you know what? It makes me laugh how squat Dave Mastiff looks next to Eddie Dennis.
It's really weird. Like, and you saw this when like King Kong Bundy would go up against Andre the Giant, but it's so weird. And it's the same when Chris Brooks goes against the Giant. Just Mastiff doesn't look as imposing. He just looks like the chubby kid who's getting picked on at school. And yeah, that's just weird.
Yeah. I mean, we had some great spots in this match. We had superplexes. Yeah. We had Eddie Dennis being like slingshotted throat first into the rope, which looked very, very painful.
Yeah. The catching, Eddie Dennis managed to catch Dave Mastiff.
Oh my God, that was incredible strength. Incredible.
Yeah. And then teased the crucifix bomb, which didn't happen. But I believe if there is a rematch of this, there probably will. That probably will be a spot that happens.
That will happen. And the fact that he can carry Dave Mastiff, who is a very, very large boy, is, do you know what? Fucking fair play to him. Fair play to Eddie Dennis. And yeah. I've said many times, just on this podcast, that I don't feel Eddie Dennis, but this match changed my mind.
Yeah.
No, it was a I'm good glad. Match. It was a good match. And do you know what? I love the fact that Dave Mastiff has gone over. I don't know if it was the right decision to put Dave Mastiff over, especially as they seem to be investing more time into Eddie Dennis. We had all the vignettes before he debuted. He was the one with the video package before the match.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Dave Mastiff went over.
I think, but to be fair, we put more time in video packages, but we've given Mastiff more matches.
They have. It's just, I don't know, I expected Eddie Dennis to go over here. But
I was expecting a screwy finish, to be fair, but this was awesome. Second best match of this set of shows, 3.25 stars.
Yeah, I agree with that. The problem was, and this is the problem I have with the entirety of the show, is that this match was standout the best on this show. The rest mm-hmm. of the show was so missable. There's nothing on that show with the exception of this main event that you need to watch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's weird. It's sort of like how the third hour of Raw is bad. I assume. I haven't watched Raw in about 3 years at this point. But, yeah.
You aren't missing much, trust me. So, we come to our ending segment of the show now, Chris. I would like you to give me your most entertaining person of NXT UK this week.
Gibson. He appeared in both shows and was amazing in both.
Yeah, I agree. I think Zach Gibson is always entertaining. Whenever he's on the show, he's entertaining. I think Trent Seven is extremely unlucky not to be there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
I thought his match psychology, his in-ring psychology was absolutely fantastic in that main event in the first show. I thought Joe Coffey was fantastic. I thought the entire of that first show was brilliant.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Zach Gibson, he had a fantastic match and his promo was excellent. So yeah, Zach Gibson, most entertaining. Who was your least entertaining, Chris?
Do I have to say it?
I mean, I'd be very, very, very surprised if we both did not say Joseph Connors.
Yeah, of course it was Joseph Connors. He's like Hiroki Goto if Hiroki Goto couldn't work. And
he's very, very bland.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, is not great. It's not great.
When he came out, and I sent you a photo of this, I just put on half of my page, fuck off Connors.
I did see the picture. Best match?
Oh, absolutely. Trent versus Coffee, obviously.
Yeah, 100%. And worst match?
Are we not counting the Connors match as a match? Is that too easy?
Yeah, let's make it harder for ourselves.
Then I'm going to say Dawn versus Nappy.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think Dawn versus Killer Kelly wasn't a great match. It wasn't entertaining. It highlighted the fact that Killer Kelly is still very green, and it sort of highlighted Isla Dawn as not very challenging.
Yeah, that's the thing. Literally, after finishing the notes for Dawn versus Nappy, I just put, I miss Candy Floss.
Yeah, I think Candy Floss would have been better in that position. But that's it. But ladies and gentlemen, that is our review of NXT UK 16 and 15. I'm extremely sorry about the weird thing in the middle where my internet decided it wasn't going to work despite being plugged in, but we worked around it and we've managed to finish the podcast. In the meantime, do not forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and on CastBox. Give us a 5-star review. It really, really does help the podcast out. Please do it. Check out the website, www.podmania.co.uk. Don't forget that next week we will be announcing the winners of our inaugural Podmania End of Year Awards. The voting is now closed, Chris.
Yes, I voted once because that's how many times you should vote.
That is definitely how many times you should vote. And if you voted more than once, it will tell you not to. Unless you did and it didn't.
Also, Tai Chi isn't on the award, so I might be boycotting. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows if Chris will turn up because of the lack of Tai Chi.
No, I'm contractually obliged.
Yes, absolutely, because we are professional here and we have contracts.
I'm tier one. I can't appear in another contract on other...
on other podcasts.
Yeah, Garf is tier two.
In the meantime, follow the Podmania Twitter page at Podmania. You can follow me at Real Rob Goodwin. Chris, where can they find you?
At Young Lion CXC.
Fantastic. And in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, we shall see you on Sunday, where me and Chris shall be reviewing Wrestle Kingdom 9. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.